We have to stop discussing various aspects of Tanai Kofo because the Gemara discusses Nafok Nebei, the case of Matamanas Lahakstir. Gemara does not mention the need for a Tanai Kofo. The most explicit case is what the Gemara quotes when it comes to Dalet Minim, Heilach Esrek Zeh Amanashat Hafsirehu Li, that is considered to be legitimate Tanai. After all, the Gemara says that Lo Hit Zero, Lo Yatza. If that would be an illegitimate Tanai, we should assume that the Tanai is Batal, the Maisa is Kayim. So apparently, there is no need for a Tanai Kofo unless you assume that the Gemara is assuming that Enochinami, according to Reb Meir Shita, obviously you have to meet all the Mishpatei HaTanayim, but the Gemara is not going to mention all the details of the Lashon HaTanai in each particular case. We pointed out that the Rishonim assumed that a Tanai Kofo is not needed in these instances. When is it that you require a Tanai Kofo? And when is it that you do not? We discussed various Shitas that you find in the Rishonim. Differences between Mamon as opposed to that of Isser. Differences between cases where one should assume you're dealing with a Tanai which is Lahaba, Tanai which is considered to be that which is Lamafreya. In terms of that sheet of the Gaonim that we mentioned, with Tosfos cites in Daf Mem Testament Beis, the name of the Rashbam, a difference between Mamon and Isser, we mentioned the possibility that this is an actual split Lahalakha, not simply as the Pshar, the Rabcha, the Milsa, but this is considered to be a sheet that we only derive from B'nei Godam, B'nei Rupay, that which is vital for Kedusha Saret, the element of Isser Veheter, as opposed to the aspect of Dini Mamonos. If you look, however, at the Rashbam, Pirish and Baba Basra and Abkufam and Zayn Wabeis, there when the Rashbam presents this Shita Sagaonim, a difference between Mammon and Isser, there the Rashbam explains it very differently, that Mikr Hadin, we pass from like the view of the Chachamim, that there is no need for Tanai Kofo at all. However, when it comes to Adavar Sheba Erva, we're Chayish L'Rav Chedemilsa for the Shita of Rabbi Meir. The way the Rashbam presents it, really it is not Mikr Hadin, a Shita that splits Mammon as opposed to Isser, but rather simply L'chumra Ba'alma, when it comes to Dover Sheberva, we're chayish to see to it that the Maisa Gerish and the Maisa Kedushin should be done L'chuliyam. We left off discussing the Chiddush of the Rambam Shita, two different types of Tanai, Ima as opposed to that which is Me'achshav, and the Chiddush is the following, that when it comes to cases that you have of Im, if and when, that which is Lahava, that is considered to be a case of a Tanai, that is going to require Mishpatei HaTanayim. Hashem came, if in fact it is Chal L'mafreya. Obviously in the case of Amanasha Tafsirehu Li, that is something which is certainly Me'achshav, and therefore Pashab Shad. In our Gemara there is no need for Mishpatei HaTanayim. We mentioned, if you look in the Ramban of the Mochamas, in the Sugyan Beitz and the Chof Amud Aleph, here the Ramban discusses a Chiddush that you find in the Raivin, and that is that there's a difference between a Maisal Tanai as opposed to cases of Dasal Tanai. When it comes to Maisal Tanai, that is when you require the formal institution of Tanai. If it's a Kinyan Al Tanai, Kedushin Al Tanai, Gerishin Al Tanai, that is the need for Mishpatei HaTanai. When you're dealing with a case of Das Al Tanai, when there is no Maisa Kinyan, for example, a neder or a shvua or a mishlichus, or even a case of a hischaivus, like that sugya in Beit and Avkav, then there is no need for Tanai Kofo in that regard. And when the Ramban discusses this shita, the difference between a maisa kinyan al tanai as opposed to das al tanai, the Ramban refers you to Yerushalmi, where you can distinguish between different types of tanai, but as we mentioned, in the opposite direction of the Rambam and the Riz. The Ramban cites the possibility that one should assume, when it comes to a case of Me'achshav, that means that there is a chalos right now, that is considered to be a Maisa Al-Tanai. It is a Maisa Kedushin, it is a Maisa Gerushin, the chalos is at this moment. And in such a case, then you require Mishpatei HaTanayim. If, however, you're dealing with a case where the chalos is La'achar Zman, so therefore, as of this time, nothing will ever be chal. Therefore, this is comparable to a case of Minishlichos, comparable to a case of a neder, where we assume that that is considered simply to be das al tanai. Das al tanai does not require mishpatei hatnayim. Obviously, if the tanai is not fulfilled, there wasn't any gemiras das, and therefore midin tos, that chalos would never kick in. When the Ramban discusses this in Gittin, if you look in the Daf Yarif and Daf Lamed Zayin Beis Lamed Ches Lamed Aleph, here the Ramban also refers to a further distinction, and that is a difference between that which is Lahava, as opposed to that which is Lisha'ava. Sometimes, when a person deals with a case of a Tanai, the Tanai is future-oriented. If this will or will not occur. Ramban quotes the possibility that perhaps that's in required Mishpatei Hatnayim, if something in the future occurred or something will not occur. If, however, you're dealing with that which is L'sha'avar, in such a case, perhaps that does not require Mishpatei Hatnayim. So, for example, a person can say that if this will happen, then this. If a person will say, if this happened, then this. If this did not happen, then that. In such a case, if it is an im, which is directed to the past, in such a case, there's no need for Mishpatei Hatnayim. Only when the Tanai is Lahaba, as opposed to that which is Lishavar. In fact, with this in mind, Poshav Shav, one could resolve the difficulty that Tosus raises a little bit later in Kedushin and of Samadbeis. There the Tosus, as well as the Tosus Yishanim, Dermasil, Chinki, raises the following issue. One of the halachos of Mishpatei Hatnayim is Hein Kol Demolav. Right, you have the Tosum and Tanai Kafel, you're going to say both halves of the Tanai. Which one do you express first? Well, when it comes to the normal instance of B'nei Godim, B'nei Ruvei, it is always the Hain. If, in Yavru Chalutzim, if you will go and you will fight and conquer at Yisrael, then yes, you will be able to receive maybe the Ardim, and if not, then not. The Tanai that you find in B'nei Godim, B'nei Ruvei was always Hain, Kol Demolav. It also is one of the Mishpatei Hatnayim. Tosus is bothered by the following difficulty. When it comes to Parshas HaSota, that does not seem to be the case. After all, if you have a sota suffix, and it's necessary that she goes ahead and drinks the Mayim Orin, so therefore the Torah describes the following, that im lo shachar, if you did not perform the Mayim Saver, if you were innocent, then this is what will occur. You have nothing to be afraid of. But the im shachar, if you do, that's the Shmuz HaKohen, this is what will occur. So Tosus is very bothered. That if the halachos of Mishpatei Hatnayim dictate that Haim calls them alav, how does that fit with the Parsha Sasota, where it seems to be that the lav is kodam lahein, im lo shachav, if not, and then only afterwards, im shachav, if. Pashav Shad, according to this possibility in the Ramban, one could argue, very simply, that whenever you're dealing with a fact of the past that does not require Mishpatei Hatnayim, when you're projecting out toward the future, if you will do this or not do that, b'nei Godim, b'nei Ruvein, that's Mishpatei Hatnayim. Here, when it comes to Sota, we're dealing with simply an issue of history. If this is what occurred or what did not occur, so in such a case, then you don't require Mishpatei Hatnayim. And therefore, perhaps the Torah simply says Imo Shachah first, because the Torah starts with the presumption of innocence. If you didn't do the Maisaver, is that against Mishpatei Hatnayim? Not if one should assume that the Mishpatei Hatnayim are only when there is a Tnai Lahava, as opposed to a Tnai, which is L'sha'avar. Tosus does not assume this terror. Tosus raises this kasha. Isn't a case of Sota, right, a violation of Hein Kol Demolav? And Tosus writes a very great Kiddush. And that is, when you want to know what is Hein and what is Lav, it's not simply if or if not. The desirable outcome is called the Hein, and the avoided outcome, that is considered to be the Lav. That's the Kiddush that Tosus writes. Im Yavru Chalutzin, that's the desired outcome, no? You want to be Yorish Mein the Yardin? So if, then, that's called the Hain. When you deal with the Parsha Sasota, the desired outcome is Im Lo Shachar. And therefore, that is something that is called the Hain. That is Hain Kolma. That's the Chiddush of Tosus. But obviously, Tosus assumes that even in a Tnai the Sha'ava, it's necessary to meet the Mishpatei Hatnayim, and that's what causes Tosus to assume that you have to interpret Im Lo Shachav is Hain, because that is the desired result, and the undesirable result is considered to be what we call the Lav. Right? So this is quoted in an unusual context. If you look in the Hakdam of the Taz Tiyoradeya, the Taz discusses this Kiddush in Tosus. Whether Hein Kodam Lav just means whether it is affirmative as opposed to negative, or whether it means that which is desirable as opposed to that which is undesirable. But that again is a further possibility in terms of when Mishpatei Hatnayim are required. Is there a difference as to whether the Tanai is L'sha'avar or whether the Tanai is considered to be L'hava? In this case of Matanam Nas L'hafsir, so Rav Ashi tells us the following, that in all cases Matanam Nas L'hafsir would work, is considered to be Shema Matana when it comes to cases of Pidyon HaBen, when it comes to cases of Truma and the like. Levarmi Isha, why? Because Ein Isha Niknis Bichalipin. But otherwise, Matamana Saster is Shma Matana. We quickly refer to the Tosus, the Maskel of Arnisha, where Tosus writes that this is only a din derabanan. If Matam and Aser works generally, so it's going to work when it comes to Kedushin as well, why should we assume that there should be any difference between issues as opposed to cases of Pidin Haben or cases of Nisina Satruma? Why is it no good when it comes to Kedushin? So Tosus writes this is only midrabananu, that it is not considered to be good when it comes to Kedushin, because Asi Lameimar Isha Niknis Bechalipin. After all, there's a fine line between Matan Asafser as opposed to Chalipin. In both cases, it looks like the bystander is that the Maisin is Sina, and the Chepetz ultimately is going back to the Nosein. In Chalipin, we're going to argue it's not good. In cases of Matan Asafser, it is good. So therefore, as a result, the Chachamim declared in Kedushin, not just simply this should not be done. No, in Kedushin, the Kinyan is not Chal. Again, that's a Chiddush. One could accept the sheet of Tosus and assume that this is a dinder abanan, and therefore what? Therefore, one should not engage in a matan al-masahasir. Good? But obviously, the Gemara says, Lokana. Lokana does not sound like a chathila one should not do so. It seems to be the evet. This is not considered to be a chalos issues. So Tosus themselves point out, you have to acknowledge that this is one of the unusual cases of mafki'ina rabbanan l'kadushimine. You have to assume that Yidach Ham just simply did not say do not do so, but and if you do so, we are going to uproot this Kedushin, the Kedushin will not be Chal, no? That's why Tosus has to add, because the Gemara says, lo kani, not just simply whether it's appropriate, or whether in fact that should not be done. So Tosus writes, Hilka, Chafkinu Rabbanu L'Kedushimine, because of that difficulty. So again, if you assume it's a din derabanan, you have to come on to such a chiddush as well. Obviously, right? There are times that the Gemara does engage in such a possibility. So give yeshonos begitten and ksuvas and daf gimel and so again, gitten as well. When it comes to cases that we discussed in the past of bitul shlichus shlobi fnei hashliach and so on, of course, the chum have that koach. But when they exercise that koach, that's something which is very questionable. Tosus writes, this is true in our Gemara as well. If you look in the Chedushei HaRashba, Divrei Maskil Ela, the Rashba writes that Kachi Girsa HaNachona. The Rashba writes that that is the Girsa HaGemara explicitly. Levar Meisha Gzeira Shemiyamru. That Isha Niknis Bechalipin. Not Lefi Shein Isha Niknis Bechalipin, but rather Gzeira Shemiyamru. Isha Niknis Bechalipin. Mufurish in Rashba, Girsa in the Gemara, that this is only a Din Derabanan, as Tosus points out. The Rashba even then entertains another possibility, a great Kiddush, we'll have to discuss this in the Sugya under Ches, as follows. And what about when it comes to Pidyon HaBen? If indeed we don't want the Matan al-Asafser to be used, because that could lead to the use of Chalipin, which is illegitimate Midaraisa, so therefore, why is it only true in Kedushin, not when it comes to Pidyon HaBen? Why didn't the Chachamim assume that even though Midaraisa, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, Matan al-Asafser is good, but one is not allowed to do so because of the fear that one might utilize a Kinyan Chalipin? So the Rashba suggests a Chiddush that Mashma deben nami podui b'chalipin. Very great Chiddush. That maybe a Kinyan Chalipin can be utilized for Pidyon HaBen? Because if you were to argue that that is not the case, so therefore these would be two identical cases where Midaraisa Matam al-Asafser should work, but Chalipin does not work, so if you're going to create a Gzeira, it should be in both cases, not in other cases. So therefore, why a Gzeira when it comes to Chalipin issues and not when it comes to the case of Pidyon HaBen? So perhaps the Rashba suggests the great Chiddush that Chalipin should work when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, so obviously no need to be gozer, Mashenki when it comes to issues. The Rashba is Madche, and the Rashba writes the following, that no, that certainly an Asinas haste line is necessary for Pidyon HaBen, and a Chalipin will not operate in order to see to it that no podoi. However, very simply, it's not a stira. When you're dealing with issues because of Chomer Ha'arayos, so therefore the Chama would be gozer, don't do A because it will lead to B, and B is terrible. Now, Mashenki, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, what is the worst case scenario? That one will not fulfill the mitzvah sasei. So in such a case, the Chazal felt it's not necessary in this case to be gozer. Matan al-Asafser otu Chalipin, even though Chalipin is no good when it comes to the cases of Pidyon HaBen. Okay. Pashur Pshat, if you look in the Rambam assumes, against Tosus Hashita, that this is a Din Daraisa. The Rambam in Ochos Ishus, Perakei Halacha Chav Dalet, The Rambam writes that if one engages in a matam and aslahaksia, ein mekudeshes, the kedushin is not chal. Why is that true? Well, the Rambam writes the following. Well, if she receives it and doesn't give it back, obviously ein mekudeshes, because you didn't fulfill the kiyum hatnai. Good. But what happens if ein hechzir aso? What happens if she receives it and the tnai is fulfilled, she ultimately returns it? Still it is no good. Why? The Rambam writes, because after all, harei lo nehenis. The lo higi liyada klum. The Rambam writes, because she did not receive sufficient tanah. That is why the kedushin is not chal. When it comes to matam nasahaksir, the hana is insufficient. Here you can't apply the principle of a hana kekeser. The hana is insufficient. That is not a din drabanan, it's a zera otu chalipin. When the Gemara tells us that eni sheniknis b'chalipin, poshup shapehu hadinami, when it comes to the cases of chalipin as well, that it is not considered to be an ample matamos, it's not ample hana, and therefore the kedushin would not be chal. The Ran, and the Beis and Beis and Daf Erit, the Maskalah, quotes the Schiddush of the Rambam, Harei lo nehenis, and the Ran adds just the following biur. And what if there is hana? What if she receives the chepet? And she clearly derives benefit from the chepet that is quantifiable, that is a shava bruta, kodem shechazirasa, before she goes in and gives it back. The Ran writes that still is not considered to be good. Why? The Ran writes the following. After all, lav bahi hana ka'amala, because that was not the assertion. The Baal did not assert that I am hereby marrying you with the hana that you will receive in the short window of time that the chepet is nirishus. The representation was that I am being makadish you with this chepet. So even if it's true that she has a right to utilize the chepet, and perhaps that use is more than a shava pruta, that was not the kesev kedushin that was being represented in such a case. That is insufficient. If you look in Shulchan Aruch and Eben HaEzer, in Simen Chavtes, the Rama quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yerucham. Or Rabbi Yerucham writes explicitly that the Im Nasam Lamatam Naslahaksir, if he will give her Matam Naslahaksir, and Va'amarlan, he says explicitly, Bahana Zu Shatnen is Toch Hazman. I am being mekadesh you with the hana that you'll receive, right, for the limited window of time that the chepetz is yours before you return it to me. Rabbi Yerucham writes that havi kedusha, that certainly is good. The Rambam writes the problem is we don't have sufficient hana, and the Ran writes that's because the representation was that I'm being mekadesh you with the chepetz, and even if she gets some side result, that's insufficient. So Rabbi Yerucham writes explicitly, but if that is made clear, that the hana kekesen, right, is that which is for a limited amount of time, then the kedushin is found. If you look in the Bir Hagra, right, in that piece in Simen Chavtes, here the Gon writes that this depends on our machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam. This view of Ben Yerucham is like the Shita of the Rambam. That what our Gemara mentions is a din d'oraisa, not a din d'rabbanan, a din d'oraisa. And the problem either is insufficient hana. So obviously that can be so, right? As long as that is expressed. If you assume it's Tosfos Shita, the problem is not insufficient hana. The problem is the Chachamim will never allow a matam nasahaksir, because l'fi shein isha niknis b'chalipin, and Tosfos writes because of a gzera. So the Gon writes that will be categorical. Even if she'll receive hana, that's not the issue. And even if it is expressly stated that I'm marrying you with the hana that you receive, but if the bottom line is that it will be chozer labal, in such a case that resembles chalipin, and in that case, askin the rabbanon the kedushim inay. The Gaon just makes that ha'ara that this shita of Ben Rucham is might of the ha'ara of the Ran, based on the shita of the Rambam, that this is a din d'oraisa, according to Tosfos categorically. Matam nasahaksir would not be good. In the past we discussed, somewhat briefly, the Chiddush of Rava, Kedushin Midin Arim. Here Rava tells us the following, the very bottom of Vavim Beis, extending Zayin Amar Aleph, that Amar Rava, what happens if the woman says the following, the Tain Mana Laploni, the Akadish Anila. The Gemara tells us that even though the woman is not directly receiving the Kesef Kedushin, nonetheless, it is Mekudeshes Midin Arei, in a case of Arei, even though Lomati Hanali Yadei, even though the Arev is not directly receiving, but nonetheless, Kamishabid Nashe, he binds himself, Arev Mishabid, the same is true when it comes to this woman as well. She is not the direct recipient of the Kesef Kedushin, but nonetheless, the Kedushin is found Midin Arev. How is it that Arev functions? We discussed in the second parak, the Gemara in the very end of Avastra tells us a Chiddush regarding Arev. The question that the Rishon debate is the following. What exactly is the meaning of that Gemara? Bavastra Kup Ayin Gimel Mabeis. Ravashi is bothered by the following. The Gemara wanted to be tole the issue of Arev with the Sugya of Asmach. Asmach will have to discuss at greater length, but the Gemara assumes in the case of Asmach the means that in some shape or form there is a Tanai where it is highly questionable whether that Tanai will ever come to fruition. Is that considered to be a measure of doubt? I go ahead and I do something, I'll Tanai, and let's assume my mindset is that's never going to happen. If this happens, I'll give you thousands of dollars. But my mindset is that will never occur. In such a case, that's what the Gemara discusses, the details of Asmachta. When do you assume Asmachta Kanya? When do you assume Asmachta Lo Kanya? The Gemara links the case of Asmachta to that of Arei. When you co-signed the loan, wasn't the assumption that the Lova would be able to pay? You really were not Belev Shalim willing to part with the money of paying back the Salva. Shouldn't we assume that Arev is dependent on Asmachta? And if you assume Asmachta lo kanya, therefore Arev lo mishdabe. So Rav Ashi says that cannot be, because Maisim b'chol yom da Asmachta lo kanya and Arev mishdabe. Rav Ashi says, how can you make such a lishitase? We know Asmachta lo kanya, but we certainly recognize the institution of Arev. So how can that be? So Rav Ashi writes the following Kiddush. The answer to this is Behahi hana daka mehemenle gamar umishtabe napshe. Since there is something that the Arev is receiving right here and now, hahi hana, that solves the problem of Asmachta. In a normal case of Asmachta, I make a representation to you. If this unusual thing will happen, I will do A, B, C, and D. So in such a case, there is no immediate hana that I am receiving. That's considered to be Asmachta lo kanya. But in a case where I receive something in return, and therefore bahi hana, that is considered to be sufficient, and therefore Rav Ashi says, Arev is not a problem of Asmachta. Now, the Gemara mentions Ahi hana in order to solve a detail, an important detail. How is it that you resolve the sugi of Arev in the light of Asmachta lo kanya? The question, though, is the following. When Rav Ashi tells us Ahi hana, is he explaining to us the nature of Arev? How it is that Arev functions? Or is Rashi only limited to addressing, right, a smaller question, and that is, how is it that Arev, whatever the lumdus of Arev will be, how is it that you understand that in light of the fact that Asmachta lo kanya? These are two very different ways of understanding our Gemara. One possibility is the following, that when Rav Ashi tells us Hahi Hana, true, he was addressing the detailed question, but you should know, Hahi Hana is the foundation of Arev. That is the basis of the Yitzchayvus. And therefore, when our Gemara tells us that there's a possibility of Kedusha Isha Midin Arev, in other words, it is very simply Hahi Hana. Just as the Gemara said later on this daf, that you can have Adam Chashu, Bahahi Hana, and just as we saw the Sugyat of Sama Gimel, Adabar Alayach Leshulta, Hahi Hana is considered to be sufficient, as long as you meet a couple of requirements. Number one, the Hana has to be Babas Achas, that's good. Here it certainly is Babas Achas, it's an immediate Hana, it's not a prolonged window of time, which would depend on the Spirit's issue. Maybe a further requirement to the Rambam Shita, and that is, some sibui is necessary, some amira didah, that fits in very well as well. No, that's exactly how the sugya starts. Tain manalaponi. Who's speaking? Right? She is making that representation. Amrahisha. So therefore, she will set up that relationship. That is not the lashon of kedushin. Obviously, it has to be amahu. But in order to set up the relationship, avahiana. So therefore, that is how that will work. Perhaps borrowed midin skiras paolim, as we suggest in that sugya. Das tamak yimo. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that which is very different. Right? That is the foundation of Arev. Arev seems to be based on some drasha, some limud, some zeres akasu. After all, that Gemara Bava Asra asks, minayin la Arev mishtavi. Where do you see that it's good? What is the chiddush of Arev? According to this first approach, we're kind of playing down the chiddush of Arev. No? Arev works when it comes to issues. Is that a great chiddush? Well, according to this view, not really a great chiddush. This is just a further example of what we know all along, and that is that sometimes hana is kekesev. Hana is kekesev when it comes to adam chashuv. Hana is kekesev when it comes to adam chalayim kshulta. And hana can be kekesev if the Baal will fulfill whatever desire is. If her desire is A, B, C, and D, and he does that, and that's quantifiable, so that's just a further example of hana kekesev. Okay, one could argue in a chinami that's true. That the application of Arev is not a great Kiddush, that is just a detail within the broader sugya of Hanaka Kesev. And Enochinami, just as you can have Hanaka Kesev as giving a matanat adam chashuv, you certainly can have Hana when a person will carry out your desire. Okay. The other possibility, as we started to discuss earlier, is that no, that Arev is not working at all merely with Hani Hana. It's true. Hanihana is necessary to resolve the smach issue. What's in it for me? What's in it for the Arev? So that's what Rashi says, Hanihana. But that does not the yisod of Arev. Perhaps Arev is considered to be, right, an absolute matan maos. And that's the chiddush, that's the gzeres hakasu of Arev. Meaning the following, that the Kabbalah sakeset of the loveh, to the bystander, it looks as though the money is going from the malva to the loveh. No. Since the loan is only forthcoming because of the arev, that is ki'ilu kiblu ha'arev. It's as though that the money is going from the malva to the arev to the loveh. That is the chain. Just as, again, it's not obviously exact, but just like in the case we had earlier of Arvach Lezimna, that perhaps that's not just considered to be a hana kekesev, but perhaps Arvach Lezimna, Poshup Shat Narai, that's considered to be a matanos. This is the money they throw up. So you don't have to go through the act of you giving to you, you giving to you. A mamet shloshtun, it's a giving up your gimel. Hu hadinami, that's the chiddush of Arev. It's considered to be a matanos. From the malveh to the arev to the loveh. The fact that the malveh al pi tzivuya is willing to grant the loan to the loveh. Hu hadinami in our case, one could argue that the kedushin here midin arev is not bahinana, but rather it's as though the paper trail is from the baal to the isha to ploni. So when she says that tain mana laploni, it's as if the baal is giving her, she in turn goes and gives it to ploni, and that is considered to be sufficient. How is it that understand arev miadina hi hana, or is it considered to be matan mamz? One possible nafkamina is the following, and this is what the Rishon debates and the Chesam debates. In our case, it is clear, you have, right, tain mana laploni, a baal, an isha, ploni. What would happen in the following case? If Amra Isha Zrok Mana Liyam V'Kadesh Anilav, she doesn't say, give money to Ploni. Where you could argue that the Matan Maos and the Baal to Ploni is really Baal Isha Ploni. What if there is no Matan Maos whatsoever? What happens if she says, right, Zrok Mana Liyam, and he goes and does it, he takes it, and he throws it, right, into the ocean. Is that good or is that not? Poshav Shatak would depend on this issue. If you assume that Hahi Hana is the foundation of Arev, and therefore the Hahi Hana is Osa Maisa Alpiha, that Sayis Lidvoreha, the fact that her desire is carried out, that's something that is meaningful to her, that is quantifiable. Lechora, one could argue that that is true irrespective of whether the desire is tain manu laploni or whether it's zrok manu liyam. In both cases, that should be sufficient. If you assume, however, it means no, that the Kabbalah Sanosim, right, the Kabbalah Samakabel is comparable to the Kabbalah Saisha, the Kabbalah Sponi is as though she received, then one could distinguish. When do you assume that's true? Like a Manashloshta, no? It goes from A to C, and we'll argue it's as though that B was the recipient. Do you necessarily assume that in with Zrok Man Liyam, that means it's as though the Baal gave it to the Isha, and then the woman threw it into the Yam? Not necessarily. This is a Chiddush that you find explicit in the Ran, in the Rashba, and Ches Lebeis. It's only if there is a Kabbalah Ben Das, Tain Mono Leploni, very literally as our Gemara says. There we could argue that when a Ploni receives, it's as though there was a Kabbalah Isha, and that is considered to be a Matan Maos, that's considered to be Kesef Kedushin. If, however, one would argue, Hahi Hana, Lav Dafka, that in fact would be true. In fact, the Ritva assumes, and Poshup Shat, as we'll see in the Rambam, that no, it's based on Hahi Hana, and if it functions in Hahi Hana, Lachora, that would be sufficient, whether the Tzivu is Tein Lefoni, or whether it's even Zrof Manliyam. This is a Ha'ara that you find in Avnei Miluim, found in Simen Chavtes and Sifkat Vav, and discussed also in Dvar Avram, Chelek Aleph, Simen Lametez, Os Bein. The possibilities of Arev as being an Ihana, as opposed to an absolute Matan Maos. The Rambam Shittah would appear that Arev is simply Ihana Kekeset. The Rambam in Hilchos Ishus, Perakei Halacha Chaf Aleph, okay, describes Kedusha Midin Arev. On what basis does it work? The Rambam writes the following, Harei Nehenit. That's what the Rambam writes. She benefits. In what sense? The Rambam adds, Biritzona Shenasa, because her will was carried out. Harei Nehenis Biritzona Shenasa. That's Hahi Hana. The Rambam does not write because when Ploni receives it, his other was a Matan Maos to her. Right? Harei Nehenis Biritzona Shenasa. That statement can be applied even to a case of Zrok Man Liyam as well. Again, Poshav Shad, according to the Rambam, our Gemara then is not a great, great, great Kiddush. Our Gemara is just a further application, right, of Hahi Hana. So you have it in the Mechashev, you have it in the case of Arva Chazimna, but you also have it in the case here as well. Another possible Nafkamina, whether Hahi Hana or whether it's a Matan Maos, could be the following. How is it that you determine Shava Pruta? Let's assume, for example, she says, Tain Pruta Leploni Va'akadesh Anila. Not as Argamar, Tain Mana Leploni, Tain Pruta Leploni Va'akadesh Anila. Is that considered to be a Kedushin, which is Shava Pruta? Well, if you assume the second possibility, that this is considered a Matan Maos to the Isha, then of course, so as long as there is an Asina Sapruta, that is considered to be sufficient. So it doesn't matter whether it's Tain Man of the Ploni or it's Tain Fruit of the Ploni. Of course it's good. What happens if you hold Hahi Hana? So again, the Kesef Kedushin is the Hana Kekesef. So the Shavius is going to have to be determined not based on the amount that was given to Ploni, but rather based on the Hana that she receives. So if she will say Tain Man of the Ploni, maybe one could argue that the Hana that I received when you did such a gracious Nesina, you gave him such a large Shamani because I said so, that's quantifiable for me. One could argue that if the Tzivi was Tain Pruta Leploni, maybe one could argue that the Hahi Hana of Tain Pruta Leploni is not necessarily Shava Pruta. Maybe yes, maybe no. It's just not automatic that whatever is given to Ploni, that is the Kesef Kedushin. Here, the Kesef Kedushin is Hahi Hana, not related to that Matan Maos. Okay, maybe one could argue the fact that her desire is carried out, even if the request is so minimal, maybe that also is with the Shava Pruta. Or maybe one could argue that, no, if the request is so minimal, so the Hahi Hana is going to be less than the Nesina's concern. Maybe yes, maybe no, but certainly a different emphasis in terms of how you would assess whether it is or whether it is not Shava Pruta. As we mentioned, we learned in the second parak the following, that this issue was discussed in Machane Ephraim, in a very different context in Hilchos Ribis and Simen Yud Aleph. Machna Ephraim discusses a couple of possibilities. Possibility number one is this. What would happen in this case? A Malva says to a Lova, Tain Manalaploni. The Malva says to the Lova, you, the Lova, give a sum of money to Ploni, Va'ani Alvaloch, and I will grant you the loan. That's a person comes to me, he's in need of money, he wants to borrow $1,000, and I say, fine, I'll lend you the $1,000, but take a certain amount of money, take $10 and give it to this person. What is that? Is that Ribis Ksutza Daraisa, or is that not? So the Machne Ephraim quotes the Ritva that writes that that is Ribis Ksutza Daraisa. That's Ribis Ksutza Daraisa. We saw again from the Tosfos and Abba Chazimna that the Ribis Ksutza Daraisa, right, is a payment which is made from the Lovet to the Malvet. That's Ribis Ksutza Daraisa. When the Malva says Tain Manalaploni, and the Lova does that, he gives his $10 to a third party and the Malva grants him the loan, is that Ribis Ksutza Daraisa? That at the end of the day the Lova is paying back the Halva, but he also shelled out an extra $10. Now if that $10 Al Pidin went to the Malva, that's Ribis Ksutza Daraisa. If it went to a third party, then not. The Ritva writes that that is considered to be Ribis Ksutza Daraisa. Machne Ephraim writes, you see from that Kiddush that that is the trail of Nesina. In that particular case, it's as though it went from the Lova to the Malva to Ploni. Since it was done al yidei tzivui hamalva, so it's as though the Lova gave those $10 to the Malva, who gave it to Ploni. Since it was done alpiv, and that would constitute ribis daraisa. That assumption that is considered to be ribis daraisa, that lachora is based on the fact that it's matan maos. The Machne Ephraim goes on and quotes the further chiddush according to the Ritva, the following. What happens if the malva would say the following to the lova? Zrog dina layam va'alvala. What about such a case? Mava says to the Lova, I will lend you the $1,000, right, but go ahead and take a certain amount of money and throw it away. For whatever reason. And that's what he said. The Mava says to the Lova, Zrog din liyom va'alvalach. What about that particular case? It's a chiddush that even in that case, the Ritva writes, that's considered to be ribis ksutza daraisa. That's a very great chiddush. Even when all I'm saying is Zrog liyom, that's even a further chiddush that we suggested in the previous case, no? Here we point out the machlokas are shown in Mizbamed Vramamurim. When can you say it's considered to be an absolute matan maos? When there is das hamakabel. There you could argue that since das hamakabel was done alpi tzivu ha'arein, so that's called marve arev loven. Here, the Machne Ephraim points out the difficulty within this ritva, that the ritva is willing to assume that even in such a case of zrog din liyam, even that can be called that which is considered to be a ribis ksutza daraisa. Again, but the chiddush the Machne Ephraim writes is that in order to label it as ribis ksutza daraisa, you have to assume that in that case the trail is from lova to malva, so therefore it's a peron of ribis, even though it is Ploni who is receiving. Yeah, bottom line, Ploni receives. But if it is done al pi tzivuyo, that is considered to be sufficient. We pointed out another possibility. This is what you find also in Eruday and Simon Kuf Samach and Hilchos Ribis, the following issue. What happens if the Malve, right, is an Akum and the Arev and the Lovve are Yisrael? What happens in that case? Not so uncommon. Right? The bank is not willing to grant a loan to this Jewish Lovve unless someone co-signs. All of a sudden, right, an Arev steps forward, right, he co-signs his loan, the bank is happy to go ahead and to grant the loan. So, who is the Malvin, who is the Lovin? Is that considered to be Ribis Ksutza Daraisa, or is it not? If you assume again that when you have Arev, it's considered to be a Matan Maos, since the Malva would not, forward the money without the arev, it is as though it is going from the malveh to the arev to the loveh. Now you're faced with the following problem. So good, you have a malveh who is a guy giving it to the arev, but now you have an arev lending to the loveh, Yisrael and Yisrael. That will be a problem of ribis. The bank, the malveh akum, is allowed to challenge the Jew ribis, but that can't be passed on. If the loveh will go ahead and pay the bank the malveh that ribis, that should be a problem of ribis ktutza daraisa, of a halva that involves arev and loveh, Jew and Jew. That's if you assume that the din arev is considered to be an act of matan malos. This is based on the Tosus Mavetzian, Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, that arev is considered to be that two-stage process, malva arev lova. In which case, we discussed this in Daf Aleph Amud Beis, the different levels of ribis. That would be a very great chiddush that we would assume it's an iser ribis, but also yotze b'dayanim. Yotze b'dayanim. That would mean that the lova must be refunded, the ribis that he pays, even though the arev is obligated to pay it to the malva. No, that was the term of the deal. The bank was going to get interest. But if the loav is paying the interest, a chiddush, that's going to be ribis ktsutza, which in fact is yotze b'dayanim. To call this ribis ktsutza daraisa in such a case again, that means it's viewed as an independent matan maos from malva to arev to loave. Right? A further hara. If you look in the Chazon Ish, this is found in the Likutim and Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Yud Zayin. The Chazon Ish refers you to a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. A person goes over to a storekeeper, to the Chenveni, and says the following: "Detain Pero Shvius Lafoni v'Ashalimach. I see you have Pero Shvius. Go ahead and give the Pero Shvius to that person, and I will pay you for them." And that, in fact, is done. So, do we assume that those Ma'os are nitpasim b'kedusha Shvius? Normally, when it comes to Pero Shvius la'achla, you eat the Pero Shvius, wonderful, but lo l'schara. But a person is not allowed to go ahead and buy and sell Pero Shvius, and if you do so, the Kedushas HaShvius is transferred to the Ma'os. What about that particular case? I go ahead and I say, Tain Pero Shvius l'poni ba'ashalimot. There the Gemara writes, Hamos nitpasim b'kedusha Shvius. The Chazon Ish points out, just poshim shem, in that ha'ara, it sounds as though the din arev is a matan maos. It's as though that there was a mecha humemkar, direct, purchasing the Pero Shvius with those damim, and then the next step is that those Pero Shvius were given to the ultimate recipient. But the first stage is that that individual who said to the Chenveni, Tain Pero Shvius Laploni, he bought those Pero Shvius, and therefore the most need possible, the Kedushas HaShvius. That's easily understood if you assume that Din Arev is a Matan Maos. That's mamish considered to be an act of Mecha Chomemkar, La'achla V'lo L'schora, need possible, the Kedushas HaShvius. If you hold this considered to be a Bahi Hana, then the relationship between the Tashlum and the Pero Shvius is more indirect. And you have to assume the chiddush of the Gemara is that even such an indirect tashlumin, even that, is nitpasim b'kedusha tashlumin. A further case. If you look here in this siman, Eben Ezer and Siman Chavtes, and Siv Beis, the Ramah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashba. That writes the following. Our Gemara, right, is a clear case. Tain man l'poni v'akana shenilach. Good. What about the following case? This is what the Ramah quotes in Tshuvas HaRashba. What happens if Amra Isha, if the woman says the following, that hil v'ma'os l'poni, lend money to this individual, and v'akadei shenilach. So that the Rashba writes is Mekudeshes Medinari. After all, it's as though again the Matan Maos is from him to her. To Ploni, and therefore that can be used for Kesef Kedushin. But the Ramah writes the following chiddush to Tshuvas Rashba. Aval im amra arvach zman ha'alva. What happens if she says this? Right. Extend the loan. This guy owes you money. Extend his loan. And va'akadesh anilach. So that is Zayin Mokadesh. That's the chiddush that you find in Rashba. That's what the Ramah quotes named the Tshuvas Rashba. So the Chalkas Machokik is bothered. Why should there be a difference between these cases? If what is driving Arevez Hahi Hana, the fact that her words are being listened to, why should it make a difference whether she says give or lend or extend? The bottom line, if it is Nasa Maisa Alpiha, as a result of her desire, he does, so that's considered to be a Hanaka Kesef. Balshav Shat in this Rashba, Balshav Shat, this is the Rashba Lashitase. The Rashba who says in the Chesem Abeis that in order for Arev to work, you have to have, like our case in the Gemara, obtain man of the phony. There has to be a matanos. If we be a case of zrok man liyam, that would be insufficient.
That ship is opening 8 days, pay back around the city. Missionaries open the Pesach. We say we thank Yashkar Ishmer and Martha, thank Yashkar the Kenan Wine. Tell people what we do. That's just open 8 days, Pesach, and Barakok 8 days, Lafish 8 days, open other communities. We have a website, vegetables.com. We have it in Russian, we have it in English, please. If you want to give it out, and any Russian, we have several Russian newspapers on this. So that's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi. Okay.
The Rashba writes, in the case of Zrok Mron Liyam, so that would not function. In that case, that's not considered to be Din Arev. If it was Hanyana, we pointed out, in such a case, why should you distinguish? Sayis Lidibura. However, if you assume that you need a Matan Maos, then there's a moral difference between Tenuan Laponi as opposed to a case of Zrok Mron Liyam. Farshib Shat asked the Shitase, the Tshuvas Rashba that the Ramah quotes as well, that if you're dealing with a case of Halva, and what is it that she is asking? If it would be a case of Hilva Ma'os Lefoni, in such a case, that one could argue is considered to be, right, a form of Matan Ma'os. If, however, it's a case of simply extending the loan, can that be called, that's the issue, right, a Matan Ma'os Ledida? Is that considered to be Matan Ma'os? The Harvachas HaZman, what is her relationship with the fact that the loan is extended? There you could argue that she received some benefit, some Hana Kekese, because she was instrumental in seeing to it that the loan is extended. That's a Hana Kekese. But if you require a Matan Maos, and as the Rashba said, the Zrok Maliyam is considered to be insufficient. So if you're dealing with the case of Harvachas HaZman, so as a result of her say-so, the loan was extended, there can you argue, it's like A to B to C. It's as though that this right is being granted to her, and this is being passed on to him, and therefore, even though it looks like it's going to 1 to 3, you know, it really goes 1, 2 to 3. Right? Here's this particular case that she is not the beneficiary of the Harvachas HaZman, right? She is not the one who is the Lohe. In such a case, maybe then that's the Chiddush of the Rashba. That's comparable to a case of Zrok Mon Liyam, and therefore you don't assume in that instance that a Din Arev could in fact function. Now, the two possibilities that we've been discussing, right? Again, the Gemara mentions Hahi Hana, and the question is that just simply telling us that how it is that you avoid an Asmafta problem? Or is that telling us something critical, something essential about Din Arev? They pointed out that the Rambam understands the Gemara Hana, Another possibility in the Rishonim is that no, that this is considered to be an actual matan mos. To an extent, this perhaps is l'shitas. The Rambam writes a very great Kiddush. The Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Mechira, Paragalah Halacha Aleph, the Rambam's about to tell you the ABCs of Mechira. Now, the Rambam begins, HaMekach Eino Nikne Bitvoy. ABCs, no? You want to sell me something. You want to sell me something. Dibur is insufficient. If I just simply say, Bayezah Ani Mocherloch, I sell you this house. That's a meaningless statement. No? Another word. What do you require? A Maisa Kinyan. No? HaMekach Eino Nikne Bidvarim. Dibur alone is insufficient. You want to sell me a Chefet? No, you need a Kinyan. A Maus Konos, a Kesev, Shtar, Chazaka. You need a Maisa Kinyan. Fine. The Rambam later, Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Mechira, Halacha Tezvav, here the Rambam writes a very great Kiddush. Mekach o Memchar is not chal with Dibur and Dibur alone. Mekach in anit nebidvayim. But the Rambam writes the following. Hamechayiv atzmo b'mama la'acher below tnai. A person is mechayiv himself. Without any condition. Let's simplify the case, the Rambam writes. A person says, I hereby obligate myself to give you $100. Is that binding or is that not binding? Chiddush that the Rambam writes is, that is binding. The Rambam writes, Hare Zechayim. After all, the Rambam writes there is no tnai. I didn't say if then, it's a categorically then. So therefore the Rambam writes, Ve'eino asmachta. That's not an asmachta issue. If you're told a bedavar acher, you say, if this happens, then I'll do this. That's an asmachta problem. But if I just make an absolute representation, I hereby obligate myself to give you A, B, C, and D, the Rambam writes, Hare Zechayim. Kiddush, no? The Rambam continues, Shibin Atzmo Kemoshi Ishtabe Ha'arev. The Rambam writes that, why are you Chayev? You're Chayev just like an Arev is Chayev. In a nutshell, what is this great Chiddush of the Rambam? You can have a Hischayvus Kli Kinyan. You can't have a Mechira without a Kinyan. A Mechira means that this Chayfet is no longer Shalim Bershusi. How does that happen? How is it that you're Kona the Chayfetz? That requires a Maisa Kinyan. But the Rambam writes a great Chiddush, and that is that a Hischayvus does not require a Maisa Kinyan. That's the Chiddush the Rambam, the name of the Gaonim. Hischayvus does not require a Maisa Kinyan. Where do you see this is true? Nidin Arayim. An Arab is Machayiv himself. There's a Yischaivus without a Maisa Kinyan. I just go ahead and say to the Malveh, you give him this money, right? I obligate myself. Kamo Shishtabe Ha'arev. Kamo Shishtabe Ha'arev. Wow. That's a very great Kiddush. Yischaivus does not require a Maisa Kinyan. A Mekach, a Mekach Nikne B'dvarim. But Yischaivus can be created with Dvarim. Good, so you have Hischayvus without Kinyan. What's the problem of Asmachta? Asmachta is the following, that you'll have a Hischayvus. Yeah, but wait a second, this wasn't a categorical Hischayvus. This was a Hischayvus was al tanai, where I didn't feel that it would bali de kiyum ha tanai. I wasn't machayv myself outright. I said, look, if you don't do this, then I will. Yeah, but deep down I think you're going to come through. So what is the parsha of asmachta? Asmachta is das, yischaivus, when al tnai, where the mechayiv does not feel it will be bar lidei kiyum al tnai. That's the asmachta problem. Good? That's the Yassiv thing, no? That's the Rambam Shitas thing. In order for an Arei to Machayev himself, what's the problem? The problem is not how can an Arei be Machayev himself. That's not a problem. How can an Arei be Machayev himself? If a person is Machayev himself, he's Chayev. You don't need a Maisa to be Machayev yourself. No? That's exactly the Rambam writes. His Chayevus does not require a Kinyan. So when the Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufayin Gimel, was bothered, Rav Ashi was troubled, how is it that Arev works? What was bothering Rav Ashi? How is it that Arev works? No. Arev works, based on the Rambam, because you can have a Yisraelus, Bli Kinyan. That's fine. What was troubling the Gemara? What was the difficulty? No, but here, it's not an outright Yisraelus. It's the Yischaivus which is out tonight, where the Arev probably feels that the Lov is going to come through. That's an Asmafta problem. So what did the Gemara answer? Hahihana. When do we assume that Asmafta lo kanya? That's if it's all one-sided. But if we can demonstrate that you're receiving a certain benefit, you're willing to take that chance because of the benefit that you receive. Good. Let's assume you disagree with the Rambam, and you assume that no, a kinyan is not only necessary when it comes to mekach u'memkar, when it comes to mechira, even hischaivus requires a ma'isa kinyan. Even hischaivus requires a ma'isa kinyan. No? So in a case of Arev, where is the Maisa Kinyan? Where was the Kinyan in that case? The guy says, I hereby will obligate myself. Fine, but normally if you just say you're going to obligate yourself, that's not binding. Where is the Maisa Kinyan? What is it that obligates the Arev? You know what the answer to that question is going to be? The Matamos. The Matan Maos serves as the Kinyan. I didn't just get up and say, I'll give the guy $100. I requested that the loan be granted and there was the Matan Maos. See, according to the Rambam, there's no need to assume that Arev is considered to be an act of Matan Maos. Why do you have to say such a thing? Because otherwise the Arev would not be responsible? That's not true. The Rambam writes, HaMechayiv Atzmo, Arev HaChayiv. You can have a Yischaivus without a Matamos. So there's no right at all to assume that Arev is considered to be a Maisa Kinyan, a Matamos at all. But if you assume that Yischaivus requires some form of a Maisa Kinyan, so in such a case, can't the Arev walk away and say, I never made a Kinyan? You know what the answer is? Matamos. It's as though that the Mos went from the Malvet to the Arev to the Lomit. That's the Lishitasei. So when the Rambam writes there's a Din Arev, is there any Raya from the institution of Arev that Arev is Kematamos Dami? Of course not. There's no raya. How do you know that we view it as though the money passed through the hands of the Arev? How do you know that's not true? Because you argue otherwise. How is it that the Arev obligated himself? The answer is, HaMechayiv Atzmo, Arev HaChayiv. So then, how is it that this is used for Kesef Kedushin? If there's no Matan Maos, so that's exactly what the Rambam writes. That's called Hahihana. Right? So the woman is benefiting. Nasis Ritzona, so therefore that's considered to be sufficient. According to the other Rishonim, forget about Kedushin. You have to assume, in order to create the Yischaivus of Arev, that this is how we view the Matamos. And if that's how we view it, because otherwise the Arev would not be obligated, so therefore, of course it should work when it comes to Kedusha. Because this is considered to be a direct Matan Laos, even without Ayana, Bashar Pshat to an extent. That's what Shita say. If Yischaivus requires a Kinyan, Arev must be Kinyan. Arev must be Matan Laos. If Yod Yischaivus does not require a Kinyan, then there's no Raya whatsoever to assume that that's true. The problem of Arev is just another problem, and that is, isn't it an Asmachta problem? And that is what the Gemara solves. Rashi says, Vayihana. In other words, if someone were to ask you, what is the issue of Asmachta? There's a fundamental difference. Now, according to the Rambam, it does Al-Tanai. When a person is Mechayiv himself Al-Tanai, according to the Rishon, disagree with the Rambam Shita, against this Psak Halacha of the Gaonim, it's a Kinyan Al-Tanai. A person makes the Maisa Kinyan Al-Tanai, but he never feels that Tanai is going to come to fruition. According to the Rambam, no, not Kinyan Al-Tanai. It does. It's the great Chiddush, the Rambam, the Das alone can create his Chayivos. See, it doesn't work when it comes to Mecca for Memka, because after all, in those cases, there's a pending Tashlumin. There's a Chayfet that there's a Shini Rishos. So in such a case, that requires some vehicle in order to see to it that that occurs. But in his Chayivos, binding right here and now. In light of that Rambam, Perkei Avos Machira, you understand why the Rambam will not necessarily argue that Arev is a Matan Maos. That's when the Rambam explains our Gemara, explains Kipshuto. And the answer that Rav Ashi gives to explain that's not the problem is going to explain how it works when it comes to Kedushin as well. Right? Hahihana. According to other Rishonim, it's considered to be a case of Matan Maos. Hahihana, the Gemara only was interested when it comes to Asmachta. How does it work when it comes to Kedushin? The answer is that this is considered to be a full act of Matan Maos. So take a look at the Rambam, at the Great Kiddush and Perek Yudalef. Okay, next year we'll have to discuss, so we'll begin talking about the cases of Eved Kenani. Okay, the Kenani, the combination, and then the Chelin Yemamot.